Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We are persuaded of great things that will be done here tonight. Praise, we give you glory. Let your name be exalted. Lord, we bring the souls of everyone here under your government. We decree that lives will be transformed. Light will appear to men. Captivities will be broken. And a new dawn will be achieved tonight. Men will encounter fire by the Spirit. Men will come into illumination by the Spirit. There will be great deliverances tonight. In the name of the Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
You may be seated for a moment.
Mighty Purun.
This is an outdoor meeting.
Yenabo meme kokunke mbarezi.
And so you know we have all kinds of people with us.
Amen. Now somebody on nombe.
And so you want to share some basic things.
I choruma eko atuye dem.
So be sure everybody is carried along.
Iji gbambo funo hale sonyere.
If this was a typical revival service,
the kebo o a
would have delved into the Spirit. But since it's a crusade, it's important to share a few basic things to bring us on the same page. In the name of the Lord
Jesus.
We've been here for two nights before now. Tonight is the third night. The Bible said after 2 days he will revive us. It said on the third day he will raise us up. And so many people will be resurrected tonight to walk in the fullness of their destiny. I know there have been powers holding men bound. But tonight they are broken. Because everyone under the sound of my voice, there is an invincible hand that is coming to lift you up. From iniquity and from sin, from pains and from sorrows, you will be resurrected into the newness of life. In the name of the Lord
Jesus.
Last night we were looking at a very strategic message. The Bible began to help us understand the God of wonders. And like I said,
he's
a God of wonders because he was before the beginning. He existed before the beginning. The Bible said in the beginning, God created. So he preceded the beginning. Nothing was when God was. And when everything rose away, God will be. That's why he said he's the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He's older than the oldest.
Oh, God,
and one time is accomplished in TB. And so we said he is indeed the God of wonders. We also said he's a God of wonders because he's a God of impossibilities. With men there can be impossibilities, but not with the God that was in order to portray this. He sent a prophet and he said, go tell mankind a virgin shall give birth. How can a virgin give birth? It is not possible. But that impossibility is with men, not when a God of wonder is involved, because with him all things are possible. And in order to prove himself, he went further and made it possible for a virgin to give birth. And this virgin gave birth to a God. The God who was, who is, and who is to come became man and entered the womb of a virgin and came out as a man. And so God became man and dwelt among men. With this feat of impossibilities made possible, there's no better way to describe him but to call him the God of wonders. Now that he has showcased himself as the God of wonders, he makes demand for worship. Because if I'm the God, the very God of wonders, the whole world should worship me. In fact, I created the heavens and the earth. Every man on the face of the earth, I made him. So the only thing man can do, and what man should do, is to worship me. And so last night, we brought a little tweak into the message. And we said he's not just here to answer our cries. The Bible said here he makes demands of worship. And so in Psalm 16 verse 4, he said their sorrow shall be multiplied. The hasting after another God. Everyone that pursues another God, he said their sorrow shall be multiplied. The reason is because it's possible for you to come into the earth, and because you need food to eat, your belly can become your God. And in order to satisfy hunger, you can begin to worship a stone. You can begin to worship the God of iron. You can begin to worship strange gods. But he said, this is the verdict in the spirit. Whoever chooses to worship another God, he said, their sorrow shall be multiplied. In case you don't know, the God we serve is not the only ruling spirit in the spirit realm. There are other ruling princes in the realm. In Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It said, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are other ruling princes in this kingdom. The God of heaven is the Lord of them all, but he's not the only prince in the realm. There are other princes he created that have rebelled against him. Because they have rebelled against him, they are also looking for men to worship them. And usually what they do, because they know man is a limited being. Man is a being that is controlled by his needs. They will usually come and suggest to you, do you need healing? We can heal you. Do you need money? We can give you money. Do you need power? We can give you power. Do you need influence? We can give you influence. You don't have to go to God. If all you need is influence, come here, we will give it to you. If you are going to God, it will be hard. You may need to fast and pray for 5 years. Why do you need to starve yourself for 5 years? All you need to do is to come in the night. You just bring a goat. And you just need to take a bath. With just a goat and a bath, you can suddenly become a millionaire. And if all you are looking for is your appetite, you will begin to worship another God. But there is a verdict in the spirit. He said their sorrows shall be multiplied. They are hasting after other gods. Because when Paul was talking to us, he said there is a strong administrative structure in this realm. He said the first is principalities. The word principalities means a prince without a territory. The reason is because when God created the world by an act of his sovereignty, he handed the world to man. He said the heavens belong to God. He said the earth he has given to the sons of men. So when these princes come, the first one they send is the one that doesn't have a territory. So what he needs to do is to negotiate with the landlord and say, I will give you what you are looking for. But what you don't know is that he's not the one giving you anything. He's actually taking from you. Because this world was created for man. So the moment you enter that bargain, what you have done is that, number one, you have given him your soul. You have opened your soul to him. Number two, you have given him your authority as a man on earth. Number three, you have opened the gate to your family and to your territory. When they came to our forefathers, they were not educated in spiritual things because the gospel had not come. So they told our forefathers, we will cause your farms to prosper. We will cause you to have money. And they were deceived into entering the bargain. When they entered that bargain, the principality had finished its work. And then the power showed up. I said, you know that bargain you made? There is another part of it. We were still talking. We have not finished talking. So after you have bathed in the water, what you will do is that every year, we will need a virgin. Because you need to service this altar. You now say, come on, why? You didn't tell me this from the beginning. How come a virgin has come in? They will say it's a long syllabus. We only read chapter 1 to you. Have you seen our young men today? They tell them, go and bath in the mud, and you'll become a rich man. And they read the first chapter. And they went to bath. When they were done bathing, the principality had lured them. He has secured their consent. And he now tells them, now I've finished my job. Then the power will come. As actually, now that you are bathed, there's a mirror you have to look in. Whatever appears there, you will sacrifice. You may think it's a goat, but what will appear will be your mother. When you say, Kai, 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 I can't do this, you say, well, there's a problem. The people you are dealing with are gods in the heavenlies. You can't go back now. If you go back now, three things will happen. You may go mad. If you don't go mad, you will die. And if you don't die, your family will die. You will not discover what they were luring you with. It's deeper than what you saw. Because after the powers, there is another one called the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness are magistrates. They give you laws and tell you you must obey these laws. But when you started, it looks simple. You are dealing with spirits. Now, the zenith of them all is called spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. They told you something simple at first. They said this simple business. If you do A and B, when we put something, you'll become rich. But when you finish with principalities, finish with powers, finish with the rulers of the darkness of this world, and you'll come to spiritual wickedness, you will not discover what they are looking for. It's deeper than what they gave you. Now, men don't understand this. Instead of committing themselves to God, they begin to seek again with spirits. And the more they delve into this business, the more destroyed they become. There are some families today, the women can't get married because one person had an appetite to become a millionaire. And because he's the first in that family, he had legal authority. And so they made him a millionaire. For 30 years down the line, the women are useless. There are some families today, in every generation, at least three people will go mad. The reason is because two generations before, somebody entered the bargain and he sold the sanity of the family. As bad as that is, the worst of it is this: that a generation that is already under bondage, that should run to God and say, "Jesus, save us." They don't learn the lessons from their grandfathers. Their grandfathers entered this negotiation because of their farmland. Their fathers entered this negotiation because of their slippers business. Now they are about to enter the same negotiation because of another promise that the Spirit is giving to them. So the Bible said, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied." Hasting after another cause. So the things their grandfather did is haunting them till now. And instead of learning from the error of their grandfather, they are going to join Yahoo Yahoo. Because they told them Yahoo Yahoo will make them rich. So what they are doing is that they are collecting the bondage of their grandfather. They are creating a bondage in their own generation. And they are handing over that bondage to another generation. And so a whole lineage is locked in darkness. Because somebody has an appetite. He wants to be rich without working hard. He wants to suddenly appear with a Lamborghini. He wants to suddenly appear with a Range Rover. Their sorrows shall be multiplied. They are hasting after another God. Now, this bondage on earth, compared to the sorrow of eternity, is nothing at all. Because there are lots of people today working under a curse because of what their fathers did. And they are creating a curse because of what they are creating a curse for their own generation. All of that put together is nothing compared to eternity. This is why Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we command men to repent. Knowing the terror of God, we command men to repent. Now, when you see the pain people go through on earth, it's pathetic. They brought a lady to me this morning. Her legs were tied with bandage. She fell down and broke her ankles. And the wound had been there for 20 years. She could not as much as stamp her feet on the ground. By the grace of God, we prayed for her, and for the first time, the pain left. She said she felt better and began to walk. Now imagine the pain of 20 years carrying injuries on your two ankles. Carrying injuries on your two ankles for 20 long years. I've seen somebody else also that because of iniquity, judgment came on him, his legs began to decay. And for 14 years, he was crying night and day. The torments that sin brings. I've seen another family that in every 3 years, more than 6 people are wiped out. Some of them are university graduates. But when time for judgment comes, those demonic gods that give them power, they don't have pity. They are God's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And families are wiped off. I've seen people before that are in abject poverty. They literally scavenge to eat. All of those are the yokes of sin. But compared to eternity, what they call sorrow on earth is high level enjoyment. Because those who saw it, they gave us a narrative. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, from verse 10 to verse 15, verse 11 in particular, he said, I saw a white throne appear. And he said, every soul on earth, he said, appeared before the throne. What it means is that there is no way you can escape it. There is a gate between time and eternity. So the Bible said the white throne appeared at that gate. If you have breathed oxygen before, if you have lived in this flesh before, it said every soul was summoned to appear before that throne. As if that is not enough. Now hear this. If you die your sins before that throne appears, there is a place called Hades. It's a place of temporary torment. So everybody that died in sins, they are already in hell burning. They are in Hades burning. Have you come close to fire before? How many of you have been burnt by fire before? Now, at least from spiritual knowledge, we understand that the feelings of our emotion is nothing compared to the feelings of our spirit. That means a fire burn on earth is not the same as a fire burn in eternity. If you have had a vision before, maybe an angel appeared to you 10 years ago. After 10 years, it will look like yesterday. Because spiritual things have greater impression. The same way the fire of eternity is many times more impressionable than the fire of earth. But the Bible said that fire is a temporary waiting place. That means, have you gone to see a big man before? Before you enter his office, they will tell you to sit in an office before his office. It's called a waiting place. The waiting place for sinners is called hell. It's called hell. Hell is not the final destination. And so the Bible said, when this white throne appeared, it said those who were on earth and in heaven, they were summoned to appear. And it said those who were already in torment in hell and those who died in the sea, they brought them out to appear there. And he said books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he said, if your name is not in the book of life, he said you are collected together and you are thrown to a place worse than hell. It's called the lake of fire. If your name is not in the book of life, you are thrown into the lake of fire. Now when Jesus came into this world, he compared the two vis-a-vis. And he said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? There are many people lying on their business today. Something is worth 20 naira. They say it's 200 naira.
It's not 200.
They collect the 200 naira. And they say they are making gain. They gather it together and they buy a Lexus Jeep. when the tribe that left us and they come for a meeting, they look at them and they say, Odogu, Odogu, Kekibia. And then they do that for 10 years, for 15 years, to make it more palatable in that legs of sheep. They look for a lady that is fair from her head to her toe. They carry one in front of the car. They carry one at the back. And they go to the best hotel in the Owerri. And then they lie down. And they say, this is a good life. This is a good life. What they don't know is that a man that sees from eternity, when he looks at them, he calls that kind of person a fool. Because somebody gathered his pan and he said, tonight my pan is full. I will rest in plenty. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul will be demanded of you. Because earth compared to eternity is like one compared to infinity. That means you will be in the lake of fire forever and ever. Forever and ever. How do you say forever and ever in Igbo?
Hallelujah!
Tell somebody forever and ever. Imagine what it will look like to be in fire for 1 hour. Have you seen somebody that is burnt before? There's no way you can recover him. When fire burns you, even the best plastic surgeon in the world can't repair you. He said they will be there forever and ever. But because God does not want anybody to suffer that kind of pain, he decided to send his only begotten son. Now when Jesus was tortured for our sins, the pain he endured was unbearable. Because that was what was levied on everybody. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so Jesus came to die your debt, that you may live his life. So in that death procedure, at some point, the Bible said they stripped all his garments and they flogged his back until his flesh was torn out. Blood came out of his body until he became thirsty unto death. As if that was not enough, he carried the cross and he took it to the place of his death. Hung on the cross for 6 hours and God forsook him. And he cried from heaven, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? What it means is that anybody who is not saved today, the same way God forsook Jesus on the cross, he will forsake him forever and ever. And the place for those who are forsaken will be the lake of fire. And so the journey unto salvation, it begins with accepting Jesus as the Lord of your life. But it doesn't stop there. When you accept Jesus, the proof that you have accepted it is that you live a life of self-denial. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, Paul said, the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us, that for we thus judge that if one died for us, then they that live should no longer live unto themselves. So it's not enough to say I believe in Jesus. There are many religious people in your territory. There are many Orthodox people in your territory. They have no relationship with God. What we are talking about here is not I go to church. I go to Methodist. I go to Catholic. I go to Living Faith. I go to Anglican. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about living for Christ. He died for me, so I will not live for myself. Naturally, I would like to follow. fornicate. But because he died for me, I will keep my body under subjection. Naturally, I want to take a bride. Because he died for me, even if it's not easy, I will live a righteous life. Because he died for me, naturally, I would have wanted to be rich by shortcut. But I will not steal to be rich. I will not bow to an idol to be rich. I did not just call Jesus Lord, but I live for him today. The reason is because he said, no fornicators, no liar, no unrighteous man shall inherit the kingdom. So it doesn't matter if you call him Lord. There are people who called him Lord who went to church, who were deacons in church. In fact, they cast out demons in his name. When they showed up, they say, away from me, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you called me Lord, but your life did not demonstrate it, because you came to church, but while you are in church, you are a thief. You came to church, but while you are in church, you are a fornicator. You came to church, but while you are in church, you are a liar. And because you are a liar, no liar shall inherit the kingdom. No fornicator shall inherit the kingdom. And so the only way to survive, the only way to survive, is to hang this body on the cross. When your appetites draw you, you say, I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. I don't live to do what I want. Our world is callous. People wake up and they say, it's my body. People wake up and they say, it's my money. I beg to differ. You own nothing in this kingdom. They say you were bought with a price. If it is true that you call Jesus Lord, you have no right over nothing anymore. Your body belongs to him. Your time belongs to him. Your money belongs to him. If you are still living for yourself, regardless of the church you attend, I came to tell you your destination. Your destination is the lake of fire. You can be a deacon in church. If you are living for yourself, your destination will be the lake of fire. But the torment will not begin from the lake of fire. The torment will begin from earth here. Because the devil will punish you first. It's called the ruler of the darkness of this world. It's called spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. He will first of all torment you here. And when he's done tormenting you, then you go into the original torment. I've seen rich men before that every night they sleep in a coffin. I've seen wealthy people before that every night they are looking for a pregnant woman to sleep with, because they need to service a demon. That is why they are on earth. They are already in torment. And when they die, they will end up in the lake of fire. I don't know how you are living your life, but the gospel is not just God bless you. The gospel is not just God prosper you. The gospel is not just your business work. The gospel is also self-denial. The gospel is a call to the cross, that you will lay down your life because you have become reasonable. The gospel is denying yourself and living for him. I can assure you, there are many Christians, professing Christians, that are living for themselves. God does not know them. It doesn't matter the church they attend. It doesn't matter for how long they've been in church. We are a congregation of liars. Congregation of fornicators. Congregation of thieves. Dressed in tie. Dressed in agbada. And come to church to dance. Because we think it's about dancing. He said, in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold. They are not only vessels of silver. They are also vessels of wood and hay. He said, if a man purges himself, he is meet and qualified for the master's use. To what degree have you purged yourself? To what degree have you submitted yourself to God? Does your money still control you? Is your money still your God? Is your business still your God? Do you still go to church because of 50,000 and lie? Do you still go to the market Do you still go to the market
in a church
just for extra money and lie? There is a destination for such people. But that is not where you are going to. That is not where you are going to. Because somebody is going to make a rededication tonight. Somebody is going to recommit himself tonight. Somebody is going to hold on to the cross tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I say goodbye to life. I say goodbye to exaggeration. I say goodbye to gossip. I say goodbye to malice. I say goodbye to fornication. I say goodbye to wickedness. I want to live for you and you alone. This is where Christianity begins from. When a man does this, he doesn't need to pray for healing. He doesn't need to pray for breakthrough. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. He says, all the things that the Gentiles seek, it shall be added to you. The reason we pursue breakthrough is because we have not sought the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. Because he also said, I have not caught the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. Peter came to him. He said, we have given you all things. What is in this thing for us? He said, no man that follows me shall in any wise lack. Not in this world, nor in the world to come. There is something you have to drop at the altar tonight. For some of us is pride. For some of us is lying. For some of us is thief. For some of us is womanizing. For some of us is lust. You want to drop it on the altar. And as I turn away from here, I become a theater that manifests God. That manifests God. If God decides to bless me, glory to his name. But even if he doesn't bless me, I will live for him alone. A story was told us about the three Hebrew boys. In the whole of Babylon, the whole children of Israel bowed to the idol. But there was a Shadrach. There was a Meshach. There was an Abednego. And they said, oh yeah, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Every Israelite that came to Babylon may have bowed. We will not bow. And the king made the fire 7 times hotter. And he said, these ones that despise me shall be cast into the fire. They were taking them to the fire. God didn't show up. It would have been possible for them to say, God, where are you? We decided to submit to you. Are you going to leave us perish like this? Because sometimes, when you commit to God, then hunger will come. And then you say, why have things become difficult? Is it because I submitted to God? The reason is because your conviction must be tested. Because God will not build with a stone that he has not tried. Every stone God builds with, he tests it in fire. He tests it in fire. And the fire that tests you and the trials of life, they carried them to the fire. God didn't show up. And they threw them into the fire. The Bible said the people that threw them were burnt off while they were in the fire. The Bible said the king saw. And there are not 3 men that were thrown into the fire. He said, who is the 4th man? The time has come for people to ask, how is this happening with your life? He said, who is the 4th man? Before they answered him, he said, it looks like the Son of God. When you commit yourself to God, for some of you, your business may go down because you were sustaining by business, bad business by pride. For some of you, your business may go down because you were sustaining bad business by lying. So God will allow you to go down while it goes down in the fire of lack, in the fire of pain. Suddenly the 4th man will appear and you will not be lifted by lying. You will not not be lifted by corruption, the hand of God will come upon him. And when the hand of God comes upon the man, my God, he said the hand of God was upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. You will discover you lost nothing. You will discover you are actually brought to the corridor of glory. Because many people will dedicate themselves tonight. Some of us have followed idols. Some of us have followed religion. Because we know, like we know our name, we are not living for God. We are not living for God. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your day of salvation. He said, tonight is the day of salvation. I don't know where you are. I don't know the condition you are in. But before I pray for the sick tonight, before I release the fire of God tonight, there is somebody here that is crying in his heart. And say, Lord, I remember when you encountered me. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I was burning for you. When did I come here? Lord, take me back to my first love. And there's somebody else that have never committed himself to God before. And he's saying, tonight is my night. If what this man is saying is true, I want to test it. And I dare you to test it. The psalmist said, test and see that the Lord is good. Test and see that the Lord is good. Test and see that the Lord is good. I brought you two messages tonight. The first message is this: their sorrows shall be multiplied. Chasing after another God. But there is yet a second message. The second message is this: test and see that the Lord is good. I don't know the category you fall into. But just in case tonight, you want to say, Lord, I want you to rule my world. I want to commit everything to you. I want to submit everything to you. In the next 2 minutes, before I begin to pray for impartation, because I want to be sure what the fire is resting on. Please don't get this wrong. You can be a preacher. You can be an apostle. You can be a prophet. You can be a fellowship leader. But your life in the secret stinks. God is not Lord. But tonight, you want to test and see. Wherever you are, you are not the greatest of the sinners, brothers. You just want to rededicate yourself to God. You just want to call him Lord indeed. You just want to call him ruler and master. In the next 2 minutes, wherever it is you are sitting, Jesus said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father. I want you to make your way to the front here. A new chapter is about to be written. Test and see that the Lord is good. There are many Christians today. We can't trust them. They enter into politics. They become wolves in sheep clothing. The moment they see power, the moment they see money, they begin to worship another God. There are many men in business today. They cry to God. They run to prophets. Lord, bless me. The Lord has blessed them now. The money is opening brothels. The money is opening clubs. The money is buying guns. Because what should have been a blessing have become a cost to their society. I bring you a message tonight. Test and see that the Lord is good. I'm not just interested in somebody coming to religiously say Jesus be Lord. I'm interested in somebody who wants to carry his cross and follow him. There will be days of hunger. There will be days of tears. But you will stand your ground. You will stand your ground. A thousand may fornicate. You will not be among them. A thousand may lie. You will not be among them. A thousand may exaggerate. You will not be among them. Because you want to see the goodness of God. Can you begin to cry to the Lord tonight? Tell him, Lord, I submit to you. I submit to you. I submit to you.
Tonight is a night. Nothing subdues me anymore. There are gods over Nsukka. There are gods over Obolo. They know that anybody that says he's a Christian at best is a religious man. Because they know the Christians are the ones fornicating. The Christians are the ones lying. The Christians are the ones stealing. The Christians are the ones cheating. And today you take your stand. I'm not one of those ones. I'm a witness of the God of heaven. I'm a witness of the God of heaven. I submit to you tonight. Go ahead and cry. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.